Morning. Good morning. Hey, I'm really excited actually to be sharing with you, but I'm also really excited that this is a communion Sunday, because there are some things in the Christian life that require more than we have to give. There are two kind of components to communion that I think matter for what we're talking about this morning. The first is when we gather for communion, we gather together. It's a corporate experience, communion. So we come to be unified together as we take the body and the blood of Christ. And then secondly, the second component is that we really, it's an expression of being reunited with God, to be in union afresh with Him. So just as we take the bread and the wine, the body and the blood into ourselves, and just as food is absorbed into our bodies to give us energy to then go out into the world, likewise, communion is our reuniting. It's an expression of reuniting with God, that we'd be empowered to do what He asks us to do. And that certainly has implications for what we're going to be talking about today. So I have a memory when I was about 10 or 11 years old. I had a couple of friends over, and I grew up with two brothers, and we fought a lot. It's what brothers do, or at least what we did. And this particular day, I don't even remember what it was, but my brother and I, my older brother and I, got in some kind of tiff. And I got so angry at him that I just charged at him. I grabbed him. I was punching him. I wanted to tackle him to the ground. The next thing I know, though, I'm laying on the ground on my back, and he's pinned me to the ground like this. And whatever the rage was that I had to begin with was now just multiplied. And I'm just sitting there, and I could feel something stirring right about here. And I could feel this energy kind of pulsating through my body. I could feel my muscles growing. I could feel my skin turning green. And I just pushed. And I expected my brother just to fly across the room and fly through three walls, and I would growl, and that would be my revenge. What happened was I pushed, whatever the energy I felt was, apparently wasn't as powerful as I thought. I pushed, and I was still on the ground, and my brother's on top of me. He's just like, "Josh, settle down. I'm not going to let you up until you settle down." So I did what any self-respecting 10-year-old would do. I lied to him, and I said, "Okay, I'm settled down. Let me up." And I took two settled down steps this way, and I turned, and I charged at him again. I did this probably two or three different times. And you might be asking, what were your buddies doing? They're just sitting there watching you get beat up by your brother? I'll tell you what they were doing. The third or fourth time my brother let me up, and I turned and I charged at him again, they tackled me. And they held me down and said, "Josh, you're getting whooped. Just leave him alone. You're going to get yourself killed." My brother exited, and then I did calm down. They held me there for quite a while. There's something about our human experience where we don't like to be on the bottom. We don't like to be beat up. We don't like to be disrespected. We don't like to be cut off in traffic. We don't like to be scared. We don't like someone to hurt us, to insult us. We don't like to be beat up. We don't like to be abused or violated. And rightly so. But we also have this almost instinctual knee-jerk response when those things happen to want to get back, to take back what's ours. If we started out this way and someone pushes us down, we want to get back up and we want to push them down. It's called revenge. We want to get even with interest. Here's a simple definition of revenge. Revenge is hurting or harming someone for hurting or harming you. Hurting or harming someone for hurting or harming you. I was doing some research on revenge this week. Very fun. So I'm about to teach you how to get revenge. But before I do, I need to let you know something about myself. I have five kids, and so I'm no stranger to glitter. And it's true. If there were things that were to be added to a list of maybe 10 things that should not be allowed in any household, glitter would be on my list. Do I hear some amens to that? You cannot get glitter out, glitter and sand, glitter. So this is what I ran across this week. Let me read this to you. This is a real website. Is there an enemy that annoys you? Meet David, he knows your dilemma. He would spend hours looking into how to ruin their day, only to get no results and still annoyed. Poor David. Until he discovered Mail Your Glitter. MailYourGlitter.com helped with anonymous glitter bombing, fast ordering, one-day processing, and best of all, the satisfaction of revenge. So apparently this is how it works. You send the name of your enemy or whoever you want to get back at to this company. But this is not an endorsement of this company. Please do not do this. And also, if you're sitting out there and you're thinking, hey, now we know a practical joke to send to Josh, it's not a joke. If you think it's funny to send glitter, then come to me and tell me your address, and I will send you glitter, but please don't do that to me. So apparently what you do is you give them the name and address, and they handwrite on an envelope, a special envelope, your enemy's address. Your name is nowhere to be seen. There's a special pocket in the envelope of the envelope they send, and when they rip open the envelope, glitter just goes pouring out everywhere. Is that cruel or what? Revenge can come in all shapes and sizes. So sometimes revenge is very overt like that, or it's like, you know, for our little kids, we can see it. They just pommel their brother or sister. As we get older, revenge can take a lot of different faces. And so there are some ways that we might take revenge that are a little more subtle than just going and attacking someone or insulting someone. It might be through gossip. It might be through spreading rumors or lies about somebody. It might be about not stopping a lie or rumor about somebody that you wish you'd take revenge on that you know is not true. It might be even more subtle. It might be something that you're hypercritical of that person. For some reason, they're always under your examination lens more than anybody else. It might be something that you're just carrying in here. Nobody else knows that you're kind of internally getting revenge at them. But when something bad happens to them, you're cheering it on. You're like, oh yeah, they deserve that. Or when something, how about this one? When something good happens to them, internally, you're thinking, oh, they don't deserve that. Jesus sees all this. As sweet and enticing as revenge is, he calls us to something different. He invites us, even commands us to something different. Listen to the words of Jesus. This is straight from the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Right there in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. We said this every week in the church where I grew up in. We'd say the Lord's Prayer. But what I didn't know is that in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus shares this, he actually parks there. So he's just talked about, you know, give us our daily bread, your will be done on heaven. Lead us away from evil. Lead us away from temptation. But then he parks on this issue of forgiveness. And he goes on to say this. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, I was chewing on this a lot this week, and I went to my brother, same brother, and I said, Brian, what do you make of this? And his response I thought was really wise. He thought for a moment and he said, I'm not entirely sure what to make of it, but it sobers me. It really pushes me to say, I better forgive. And we'll come back to that a little bit later. Peter was one of Jesus' most zealous, enthusiastic disciples. And later on in Jesus' ministry, Peter has been chewing on this concept of forgiveness, apparently, because he comes back to Jesus and he says this in Matthew 18. And then Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And a lot of Bible scholars believe that Peter was actually being pretty generous here. Might have even expected Jesus to come back with, oh, Peter, that's really good of you. No, not seven times. But Jesus actually responds this way. He says, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven times. And so instead of just doing the math on that, really, I think what Jesus is saying to us is, Peter, don't keep track. I mean, I don't know about you, but if you're counting up 490 times, you're probably really not forgiving any of those times anyway, right? Don't keep track. Your job is to forgive like I forgive. So just forgive. Each one of us is going to face lots of times in our lives. We're going to have the decision to whether or not we're going to forgive or we're going to be a revenger. We're going to hold on to revenge in some form, explicitly or internally. And I don't know about you, but I know in the ministry I work in, and I know in my own life, sometimes that's very, very difficult. Some of the wounds we've carried, some of the ways that we've been wounded, some of the people that have wounded us have hurt us tremendously, changed the trajectory of our lives irreparably. It is hard to forgive sometimes. And so I'm going to move us through, and I want to talk a little about what forgiveness is and what it isn't, and share some stories with that, and then I'm going to kind of land this plane today by talking about some practical steps that we can take toward forgiveness. Before I do that, I want to pray, because I believe the Holy Spirit has some words he wants to speak to us, and maybe even some people or some wounds that he wants to put his finger on this morning, that we would move towards forgiveness, because he wants to set us free. So let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, as I speak, it's not really about what I have to say. This is not an exchange between me and those who are listening, Lord. We are really standing before you. This is about us and you and your command to us to forgive. And Lord, when you call us to forgive, it's not just in general. You know specifically those things. And so I pray that for each one here, maybe it would be a person who would come to mind, Maybe it would be a specific wrong done. Or for some, it may even be something far in the past. Lord, you don't bring these things up to hold them over us or to hurt us, but to set us free. Would you empower us this morning to move towards forgiveness? In Jesus' name, amen. Forgiveness, in my experience, can be a bit intangible sometimes. How do we know we've forgiven? How exactly do I forgive? If somebody's still hurting me, am I still supposed to forgive them for that? If I still feel angry after I've forgiven, does that mean I haven't forgiven? Well, I hope some of what I share this morning will help to illuminate some of this for you. So let me first give a definition of what forgiveness is. Very simply, I'm going to give you two definitions. One is forgiveness is canceling the debt someone else owes you. Canceling the debt. So you might even imagine yourself, if you were to pull out a piece of paper and write down the name of a person and what they did to wrong you. Canceling the debt is simply destroying that piece of paper. It's ripping it up. It's getting rid of it. It's prayerfully saying before the Lord, I forgive this person. I release them of what they owe me. I release them for what they did. And the second definition is giving up your right to hurt someone back for hurting you. Giving up your right to hurt someone back for hurting you. That's been a really helpful definition for me in my own journey of forgiveness. Now let's talk a little about what forgiveness is not. Before I do, this rock, I went into my yard and I tried to find the biggest rock I could. The biggest rock I could that I could lift up in front of you and hold. I need to clarify. This rock symbolizes the wrong done. Okay, this is the wrong that was done to you or to me. And now I'm just going to hold this and use it as an illustration to talk about what forgiveness is and what it's not in the coming minutes. So first of all, forgiveness is not forgetting. It's not forgetting. Some of us, there are things that happened to us a long time ago, and we don't really walk around thinking about them much. And we think, well, that's in the past. It's under the blood. I'm not thinking about that anymore. It must be forgiven. Just because you've forgotten about it, just because it's a long time ago, doesn't actually mean that it's forgiven. Forgiveness is a choice you make. God's not going to make it for you, and he doesn't let time just make it for you. And so you actually have the invitation to think back and go, well, do I forgive or not? I know for me, I was struggling with present-day adult struggles, and someone said to me, hey, Josh, as you're wrestling through to get free from some of this current-day stuff, has it occurred to you that maybe some of it has roots back from when you were a kid, some wounds you experienced back then that maybe God wants to heal you from, some wounding that happened that you might need to forgive? And I began to do that, and it began to make a huge difference in my life. One of the challenges with this, some of us, we don't want to go back because it hurts. I don't want to look back. I want to leave that stuff in the past. You know what? God wants to leave that stuff in the past too. He doesn't want to leave it in the past. He wants to redeem it. He wants to heal it. Not just to leave it kind of on your shoulder to carry around for the rest of your life. He doesn't want to just make you able to kind of compensate with it. He wants to deliver you from it. Next, forgiveness is not saying the wound you experienced doesn't matter. It's not saying the wound you experienced doesn't matter. When God calls us to forgive, it's not because he doesn't care about the pain you've suffered. It's not because he doesn't know how extremely painful it was. If this is the wound, he knows every curve of this wound. He knows how big it is. And sometimes what we like to do is we like to kind of say, well, okay, yeah, you know, we do this thing called, it wasn't that big a deal. Now, that's not forgiveness. That's called denial or minimization. So we might say like, it wasn't that big a deal. I forgive you. But what happens if this is the wound, if this is the offense, and I forgive this, have I really forgiven this? One of the most profound stories about God's care about the past wounds that we experience, I heard in our ministry, one of our prayer ministers was praying for a young woman, a couple of them were, and just about some wounds in her past. And this guy, as he's praying for her, they're listening for the Lord about what he might have, and he keeps hearing the word pigtails. And he's like, okay, that's weird. Okay, Lord, we're trying to pray for this person. Help me remove that word. He keeps praying, and he hears the word again, pigtails. He says, Lord, is that you? I'm not going to say that. That has nothing to do with anything. And he hears the word again, pigtails. So taking a step of faith, he said to the young woman, he said, hey, as we're praying, I keep hearing this word and I want to just run it by you. If it means nothing, that's okay, but I'm hearing the word pigtails. And the woman he's praying for begins to cry. And then she goes on to share this story. When she was a little girl in her house, she used to have pigtails and she loved them. They were kind of the symbol of her little femininity and she thought they were beautiful and fun. And she was playing in her house. And one day, her father, in a rage, for some reason got irritated at something she did. She didn't even know what it was. He got up, he grabbed a pair of scissors, and he came and he cut off both her pigtails. She wasn't thinking about that morning as they prayed. God had not forgotten what's happened to you. He hasn't forgotten. He knows it very well. Forgiveness also doesn't mean going back to the way things were. Some of us kind of believe, I don't want to forgive because I don't want this to keep happening. Look, let me just give a couple examples of why this can't mean going back to the way things were. If you have a boss who degrades you and humiliates you and underpays you over and over and over again, I hope you'll forgive that boss. But it doesn't mean you have to keep working there. You can actually find a new job. Or another illustration, if you have a son or daughter, someone who's in your care, and you entrust them to a babysitter or a caregiver for a little while, and that person abuses or mistreats that son or daughter, I hope you'll forgive them. But don't bring your son or daughter back there anymore. That's not forgiveness. It's not the same thing. You can forgive someone without things going back to the way they were. Next, forgiveness is not a feeling or emotion. Forgiveness can be really emotional. It can be. But don't wait to feel compassionate. Don't wait to feel like the burden's not on your shoulder anymore. If we walk around and we're going, oh, I'm waiting so I don't feel the weight of this thing you did anymore. I'm waiting until I don't feel like this thing's digging into my shoulder anymore, and then I'll forgive you. That's not the way forgiveness works often. Corrie ten Boom and her family lived in Amsterdam during World War II, and she and her family took the courageous step of hiding Jews in their home from the Nazis and then delivering them to safety. They were found out by the Nazis, and they were arrested. Eventually, she and her father and her older sister, Betsy, were all thrown into concentration camps. Her father died in the concentration camp. She watched as her older sister, Betsy, suffered and died at the hands of the prison guards. And after she was released, Corrie went around the world, and she taught about forgiveness, and she taught about Jesus is faithful to her and even to her family through World War II and in the concentration camps through their suffering. And she describes this one experience that she had when she was in Berlin. And there's a man that she saw, and she recognized him immediately. He came up to her, and he said, Fräulein ten Boom, do you know me? And she did know him. He was one of the cruelest prison guards. And she had watched him, and he almost took pleasure in the suffering that he'd inflict on she and her sister and the other prisoners. Do you know me? And she did. And he said, I have become a Christian like you. I've experienced the forgiveness of Jesus, and it's wonderful. And I've been praying for an opportunity to find someone that I've harmed and hurt and ask for their forgiveness. And so, Fräulein ten Boom, I want to ask you, will you forgive me? And she stood there and she said in her heart, all she could think was, I cannot. I cannot. She said she was flooded with memories of watching her sister suffer and die through this man. And it was like as though the wounds that she'd experienced were between her and him. And she couldn't see him anymore. All she could see was the evil that he had done. And she could not. Now, she did something really wise in that moment I want to commend to you. She didn't just try to muster up forgiveness. She began to pray, Jesus, help me. Help me forgive him. Because she said in that moment, as she's standing there not able to forgive, the words of Jesus in Matthew 6 came to her mind and cut her to the quick. If you do not forgive, you're not forgiven. So she stood there feeling like, I'm not forgiven. I'm not forgiven. I need to be forgiven. I cannot stand apart from God's forgiveness. Jesus, help me to forgive. And she said the Holy Spirit reminded her of this passage in Scripture that talks about how the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. And so she began to thank God, Lord, thank you that your love is in me, that your forgiveness is in me, and that I can love and forgive as you do. And she began to feel an inkling of forgiveness, and she reached out her hand to this old prison guard, and she said, take my hand, brother, as an act of forgiveness. And she said what happened was she felt like this love of God poured into her and through her to this other man. And then she went on, and she shared the story, she went on to say this is profound. She said, you do not know the love of God until you have forgiven. You do not know the sweetness of the love of God until you have forgiven. She experienced it in a new way that day. Why is Jesus so adamant about forgiveness? Let me show you a picture. When we refuse to forgive, when we say, no, I can't, I cannot release that person from that. I'm gonna keep seeking revenge. I'm gonna keep harboring this kind of bitterness in my heart. In essence, what we're doing is it's almost like we're holding, and Jesus actually shares a parable about this. We're holding the neck of another person in our hands, and we're saying, all that you took from me, all that you took, you took my respect, you took my safety, you took my innocence, you took my childhood, you took my time, you took my marriage, you took my future. And it's like we're holding on to the other person with this heart that says, you give it back. Why is Jesus so adamant about forgiveness? I think in part because they don't have it to give to you. Jesus wants to restore our lives. He wants to redeem. This person doesn't have it back. This doesn't have it back for you. Give it back, give it back, give it back. It's not there. And so forgiveness is this expression of putting down, letting go of this person. I release you, I forgive you. And opening our hands, and I turn towards the communion elements on purpose here. We turn towards the cross of Jesus. We say, Jesus, I'm done searching for what I lost there, for justice, for my childhood. And instead, I'm turning to you. So let me ask you this question. This is the question that we have to ask ourselves. Who do you trust more to restore what was taken from you? Who do you trust more to heal your wounds? The one who wounded you, or Christ on the cross? This one, whose love pours out for you, whose forgiveness pours out for you, who says, this is my body given for you. Who's more trustworthy? The wounds of your past or Christ? Let me offer just some steps towards forgiveness. First is this, and this is what I've been talking about. Focus on the cross of Jesus. Focus on Christ on the cross. I know of no better place to go as we're wrestling with forgiveness than Christ on the cross. There his mercy flows. As Troy said, the holiness and justice of God meet the mercy and love of God. And it's so true. Focus on the cross. There you'll encounter your own sin, your own need of forgiveness. But here's the other reality. Hebrews 4:16 says this, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For years, that verse offered me so much comfort as I wrestled with my own sin. Let us approach, draw with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We don't need to be afraid to go to God to receive his grace and mercy in our time of need as we need his mercy and as we need his forgiveness. But this also applies to us as we are called, as he commands us to forgive. I don't have forgiveness to give. Some of you are sitting here as I'm talking about forgiveness and you're thinking, I can't do it. It's not fair. It is not fair. Forgiveness by definition isn't fair. This is not fair. Some of us are sitting there and going, I want to forgive, but the person doesn't. They have no idea how much they hurt me. They have no idea what they did. They don't even know. They don't know. That's true. Remember Christ's words on the cross, his prayer on the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. He knows they don't know. Focus on Christ on the cross as we seek to forgive. By the way, I'd be remiss not to say this. Some of you are sitting as I'm talking, and you're thinking, that's me, though. It's not just that I need to forgive. I'm that one. I wounded. I hurt. I betrayed. I abused. This place, this is for you. This bread, this cup, this is for you. His body, his blood, this is for you. I think Matthew 6, when Jesus says, if you do not forgive, you're not forgiven, I think it works this way. There's one place we all go together. It's to the cross of Christ. And if we say, I know I won't forgive, it's in essence us in our own life turning the spigot and saying, oh, no forgiveness needed here. And we cut ourselves off from the forgiveness that God wants to give. As opposed to saying, we all gather in the same place. We all eat of one cup. So we all eat of one bread. We all drink from one cup. This is where we come together. Those who have wounded and those who have been wounded. Second step of forgiveness. Acknowledge the wrong done and who did it. This is not a, yep, it was something like this, if it wasn't something like this. If it's something like this, then this is what it is. This is the wound. This is what they did, and this is who did it. I'm not talking about shouting it from the mountaintops, but acknowledge in prayer to the Lord. You might find a trusted advisor, a trusted friend who can pray with you. I need to bring into light something that happened. This is what happened, and here are the wounds. And this is going to hurt, by the way. It doesn't mean that Jesus is going to drag you through all the pain you've experienced in the past, but it can mean that you're going to need to grieve what was lost. As Christ bled and died on the cross, he did so sober. They offered him wine. They used to do that for people being crucified to numb the pain, and he refused it. When he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, He was sober to the pain and to what was being done. And so let us forgive from a place of sobriety. I know it was done, and I'm clear about it. It's going to hurt, but you can grieve. You know who the great comforter is? It's the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus. It's this one who extends his hand on the cross for us. Next, the next step of forgiveness is to, in a decisive and active way, cancel the debt of the one who wronged you. In some way or another, you can do that in prayer. I think this is one of the reasons it's really good to do with another person. There's another person there interceding and praying for you. One of the exercises we do in our ministry is we literally give out rocks. We invite people to take up a rock and to say, Lord, what is it I need to forgive? We set up a cross in the front of the room. We talk about forgiveness. And then when people are ready, we invite them to come and place their rock at the foot of the cross or on the cross as a symbol of this inner prayer saying, Father, I forgive. I forgive this person for doing this. The first time I was invited to a ministry time like this, I was sitting in my chair holding the rock, and I was, God, I cannot give this up. I'm so angry. Literally, I was sitting in my chair, I was having images of wanting to take the rock and hit the person in the head with it, hard. I know, nervous laughter. Put the rock down, Josh, put the rock down. But seriously, I was sitting there, all I could think of was getting revenge. I just wanted to hurt them so badly. And I sat in my chair, and this is what I prayed. I said, Lord, I can't let this go. But I don't want to carry it anymore. I want your forgiveness, and I want to forgive as you do. So would you do this for me? As I stand up and pray and go bring this rock to the foot of the cross and lay it down at your feet, would you wrap your big, strong will around my thread-like will? Would you wrap your big, enormous, eternal forgiveness and love around my feeble, paltry forgiveness and love so that it becomes real and true? And I walked up to the cross, and I stood there holding the rock for a moment, and then dropped it. And I can tell you today, I can't remember specifically what I was forgiving. I didn't try to forget it, but I don't remember what it was. And I'm grateful. The Lord asks us to forgive because he wants to set us free. This is a hard step. Next step of forgiveness. This is also hard. Seek forgiveness where you've hurt others. Seek forgiveness where you've wronged others. So hurt people hurt people. And some of us carrying around wounds, in our wounds, we've hurt other people. Maybe it's come out sideways towards coworkers or towards a spouse or towards a brother or sister or friends. Maybe it comes out sideways in road rage on the street. But where you can, seek forgiveness. Sometimes it's come out toward the person who's wounded us. We've wounded them back. We've tried to take revenge. And it is appropriate for God's people to go back and seek to make amends. To say to someone who's hurt us, hey, I was hurt, but that was no excuse. What I did was wrong to you, and I want to humbly ask your forgiveness. But when it comes to reconciliation, it's a beautiful expression. And some people might say, oh, no, it was nothing. And you say, well, it's something to me, and I'd appreciate if you forgive me. This is a great step of maturity for Christians. And if you need help with that, and this leads me to the last one, seek help. Where you need it, where you get stuck. Forgiveness is hard work. Seeking forgiveness can be hard work. You don't have to do this alone. When Christ commands us to forgive, it's not a go do this and then come back to me. And please don't hear that passage in Matthew 6 where he says, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Don't hear that as him saying, like, you have to go do this without me until you've forgiven. He desires to take every step of the way with us. He promised he'll never leave us or forsake us. You know what? He is really, really good at forgiving. So I want to pray for us. And then I want to, let me pray for us. Let me pray for us. And then we'll tell you what to do. Lord Jesus, I know that most of us are gathered here because we're really grateful that you're good at forgiveness. Lord, we're grateful that you have forgiven us of our sins. Lord, the things that we've done, the words we said that we shouldn't have, or the things we've looked at that we've no business looking at, things we've taken that weren't ours to take, the boundaries we crossed, Lord, that we weren't invited to cross, or the ways that we weren't there for people we needed to be there for. And Lord, these aren't just things from long ago. These are things from today, this week. Lord, as we gather at your table this morning, we gather at your cross this morning, to receive afresh your mercy and forgiveness for us. But Lord, we also gather because you've called us to be like you and to forgive. So those people that have come to mind this morning for us, those who've wronged us that we need to forgive, Lord, would you just point us in the direction? What's the next step you'd have us take? Maybe it's right here in this silence. Maybe we're ready. Maybe it's just time. So maybe in the quietness of your own heart, for some of you, you'll say, it is, I'm ready, Lord. I forgive so-and-so for what they did. Lord, for others here, you know the depth and scope of the wound. Lord, you know those who have been living in denial and haven't really examined the offense that was done. Lord, you know others who have, it's just even a new idea to think about looking back at ways, wounds from the past. And others, Lord, who are very aware of the wound and are just having trouble letting it go, having trouble forgiving. Lord, would you grant each of us courage this day, this week? No time would pass, Lord, that we would be active this week, moving out into the world, taking a step towards forgiveness. Lord, whether that's choosing to forgive, whether it's setting up a prayer time to do it, whether it's calling a friend to pray through some forgiveness, or Lord, whether it's reaching out to someone for help to process through what's happened and to come to a place of forgiving. Jesus, share your big forgiveness with us. We want to be like you. We want to be radiant like you. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Hey, the prayer team's going to come up and be up here to pray with anyone who wants prayer. So you can come if you're dealing with forgiveness stuff or you want to just pray with someone. They'd welcome you for that. If there's something else going on for you today, another kind of wound or something physical that you're experiencing, you just want prayer, please take advantage of that. Christ is here to move in power. Let me ask you to stand, and I want to offer just a final benediction and blessing over you as you go. Grace Fellowship Church, in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bless you to know that you are forgiven, not by any work that you do, by the free grace and gift of God through Christ Jesus and his death and his resurrection and ascension. And friends, I bless you this week. I bless you this day to go out and to forgive as you have been forgiven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.